Greetings, everyone. It's time for another episode before the paywall. It's Andrew.
Mm-hmm. It's Ben. And we have a few addendums, actually, for the last couple episodes. So we're going to spend some time on that before we go behind the paywall. So we'll start with some from last week before we go into the stuff for this week. So last week was the Almost Batman. And we covered all the actors who were almost Batman, but we left off a couple. So there was one of them who didn't even announce himself as almost being a Batman until after we released it. But there are these are other Batmen who are outside of the official live-action movies and TV shows that we covered in the podcast last week. So we didn't cover fan films, and the biggest Batman fan film was Batman Dead End from Sandy Kolara. And it starred Clark Bartram as Batman, but he was not the first choice. One aspect I forgot to bring up in last week's episode was that the original choice was Sly Stallone. So, thanks to our friend Gregoris for reminding us about Stallone, and I believe this collage here is from Ryan Unicombe, with images from the Behind the Mask documentary, which goes behind the scenes of that fan film. It's an hour and a half documentary about like an 8-minute fan film, but it's worth watching. The director talks about
being a fan film.
Yeah, and mind you, like this is not necessarily before fan films existed, but it was before it was one of the major early internet fan films. And it's from it's not from some random ass people who are just bored and want to put something together with Halloween costumes. It's from people who've worked in movies. You know, Sandy Kolara is, you know, somebody who's worked on those movies, I believe, in terms of Alien and Predator. For those who haven't seen Batman Dead End, it's got Batman versus Joker, and it starts off as like a Batman versus Joker movie, but then very quickly goes into having Alien and Predator in it as well.
Yes, so I remember this. I saw this way back in the day.
Yeah, I remember seeing all the praise for this and downloading this fan film through dial-up internet, because this is 2003, and just waiting for maybe a couple hours to watch this, because everyone was saying this was the shit. It was for 2003 when you didn't, like, the last Batman movie you ever saw in live action was Batman and Robin, and you're just dying for any sort of live action Batman content. It's not like now where he's like all over the place, but at this time, apparently the director's lawyer put him in touch with Stallone. Stallone invited him to his house, and Stallone, from a career perspective, was kind of on a downswing. He had not done Expendables yet, or the sequels of like Rocky Balboa and John Rambo yet. Like, he hadn't gone up on that upswing yet. So he was just looking for other things. And according to the documentary, Stallone is actually a big Batman fan, according to one of the people in the interviews.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so he agreed to be in the role, and there are molds made of him with the cowl on, as you can see here. And the idea was to have him as Batman. And since that was appealing, Mark Hamill agreed to be the Joker in live action, provided that Stallone was Batman. So we could have had Stallone as Batman and Mark Hamill as Joker in this fan film, which is insane to think about. But because of the fact it was a fan film, Stallone's reps were nervous about him being a part of this. You know, also, it's like they don't have the rights to Batman. It's also like an untested director. It's not like a major director for like a major thing. Like, they just thought that this was not going to work out. So Stallone pulled out, and when Stallone pulled out, Mark Hamill pulled out as well, since, you know, his main draw was working with Stallone as Batman. But man, that could have been interesting. But it does go into an interesting history with Stallone and Batman, because that was 2003 when Dead End came out. In 2008, Frank Miller said that Stallone was his choice to play Batman if there was ever a Dark Knight Returns movie. Miller said, quote, "Just that mouth of his, the scowl, and the way it would look in a mask. I loved Rocky Balboa, this wounded warrior. That's what Batman is in Dark Knight Returns."
That's awesome, dude. I can totally see it.
Me too. Yeah, like, I've seen some people criticize this, and I'm like, look, I probably couldn't really see Sly in the Rocky era as like a traditional Batman, but I can see him as the Dark Knight Returns Batman. You know, he's the older, grizzled, big dude version of it. Like, that's something that I could definitely see. Even though, like, I've always had the reservation, if they do a Dark Knight Returns movie, it just has more impact when it's an actor who's already played the role, just like with Batman Beyond. But I mean, I'd let it slide if it was Stallone, you know, like I'd be okay with it. I was actually kind of surprised too that Stallone was a big Batman fan, because in 2010, around the time of the Expendables, Stallone blamed the decline of action heroes on Batman 89. Actually, he said, quote, "The action movies changed radically when it became possible to Velcro your muscles on." So
that's interesting, because they always say, they always talk about the 80s heroes,
yeah,
being all jacked with Schwarzenegger and Van Damme, etc. You know, and Dolph Lundgren, everybody. So, man, yeah, that's, wow, I never thought about that particular influence.
Yeah. Yeah, he said, quote, "It was the beginning of a new era. The visual took over. The special effects became more important than the single person. That was the beginning of the end." And wow,
that's interesting.
You can kind of see that too, right? Because like the major action movies these days, I mean, most of them are superhero movies, right? Where like the main stars are the property, more so than the actors. And then yeah, I guess
no one,
I mean,
gives a fuck about Daniel Radcliffe. Everybody just wants to see Harry Potter.
Harry Potter, exactly. So, like, outside of like Keanu as John Wick and the Fast and the Furious movies, there's just not really a lot of ones that are just like action movie with these stars in it. You know, like those are the main ones, and even then, they're not as like young as, you know, Stallone and Arnold were in the 80s. I don't think. So,
it's because genre film has won. It was like, I remember, I think I've heard some quote, I'm just paraphrasing here, but Robert Englund, the guy that plays Freddy Krueger, he said something to the effect of, like, whenever he was first starting to work in movies, like horror and fantasy and everything, we got like the worst lots. They were like considered B movie schlock, and a lot of it was, for sure. But then people started to slowly figure this out, and he said that, like, now look at it, like, that's the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about genre movie, which is horror, fantasy, sci-fi, superhero stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So yeah, like, again, you know, we say it all the time, but the nerds won. At least we're winning now. You know, yeah, there'll probably be a day when the AI overlords decide something different for us. But for right now, we're on a roll. Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, for sure. So Stallone doesn't seem to hold this against the character, however, considering what was said in the Dead End documentary. And then in a later interview, this might have been a Reddit AMA, but he apparently was asked about, like, hey, like, Frank Miller said you would be a great Batman in Dark Knight Returns, how do you feel about that? And Stallone said that he was open to it, found it intriguing, and liked the idea of asking, you know, at that age, like, do you still have fire in the gut, you know, do you still have the desire to do this, that type of thing. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Stallone also expressed interest in the Punisher as well. But I mean, that's his buddy Dolph's part, as far as I'm concerned, from that era. But
yeah,
Stallone did, of course, get to be part of comic book movies thanks to James Gunn. He's in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies,
yes,
and he's King Shark in the Suicide Squad, and maybe he'll be King Shark again, who knows. But
his defining role, but James Gunn would turn that into something so incredible. I feel like
monsters, nom nom.
Yeah, he'd make us cry at a King Shark movie.
So Stallone does actually get to play a superhero coming out of retirement in the Amazon movie Samaritan. So that might be the closest we get to seeing him in a Dark Knight Returns type of thing. But yeah, that's one of the almost Batman I did not include, because I just forgot about it, because I was only thinking about like major productions. But yeah, that was pretty intense. But the other actor who announced himself last week after we premiered the episode was Michael Rosenbaum. So we didn't really get to cover almost Batman in terms of voice acting, because I didn't really find a lot of, like, it's not like Kevin Conroy, like, you know, in BTAZ, famously Mark Hamill replaced Tim Curry for Joker, but there wasn't really like a guy cast before Conroy came in. I don't even know who else auditioned at that time for it. I'm sure there were name actors who did it. I just don't have any information about that. But Rosenbaum recently said that he auditioned for the voice of Batman in the upcoming Batman Caped Crusader show, which is cool. Rosenbaum, of course, is known for playing Lex Luthor in Smallville, and he has done a lot of voice acting across the DC animated universe and films. He was the Wally West Flash in the Justice League cartoon, and he was most recently seen in Guardians as Stallone's sidekick, so there's that other connection. as Martinex, and I think a lot of people kind of hope that he's going to come back as Lex Luthor in the Gunverse. I really doubt it, though. I think Gunn's just going to go completely new on everybody at this point. But Rosenbaum said he auditioned for Batman, claimed they liked his Batman, but didn't care for his Bruce Wayne, which, I mean, to me, that's interesting because I thought it would have been the opposite. You know, he's kind of known for playing more jovial characters, voice acting wise, you know, with Wally West. So, you know, you would think his like Playboy Bruce Wayne type of thing would have just been that. And his Batman would be a little bit, you know, out of the box. But turns out they might not have liked his Bruce Wayne. Maybe they thought it was too similar to Flash. I don't know. But that's what he had said recently. So I thought that was interesting. Would love to hear what that audition sounded like because I think he's awesome. But that is those are the almost Batman for us to add to our list. But
nice.
That was last week's episode. This week with Chicano Batman, we ranked the different bat cycles. And Andrew, you had an idea for the bat cycle to share.
Okay. Yeah. So think of this as being red for one. So this is the Akira bike. So in my opinion, you know, what's the best bike in pop culture of all time? What, I mean, if this is number one, what's number two, Ben? I can't even think of it. Like the Adam West bat cycle, I guess.
Yeah, maybe the bat cycle, actually.
The bat cycle itself, like one of the iterations, probably the, you know, the Adam West one. And honestly, because of the showcase, the Dark Knight one was
probably
pretty good.
Yeah.
But those two. I think, you know, you don't even have to be an anime fan probably to agree that the Akira bike, you know, the anime, the late 80s anime, you know, that's like the most popular bike of all time. And, you know, I agree. It's like the most awesome bike in fucking pop culture history, in my opinion. So when we did the bike, I wanted to say this, but I guess I forgot to say it on air. But this would be my ideal bat cycle would be this. What I did was I Googled black Akira bike. And of course I found it because it's Google. This guy, Ryan Hong, seems to have made it. It looks like pretty much the same, except it's black. I don't think there's any other changes really. It makes it more realistic too, of course, but, and like, if you can imagine this bike here, change it up a little bit, add some more bat scallops here and there, you know, bat wing motif, kind of like how on the Matt Reeves one has the bat scallop coming out. Like people were joking, like it would poke his chest or whatever, like around the handlebars, something like that, incorporate that into this design. Cause you got to switch it up a little bit. Right. But
yeah,
I would face it heavily on this. And maybe even make it like blue and gray too, you know, like even more toyetic, because this black is cool, and it depends on what Batman himself looks like going forward in the DCU. But maybe because I'm just attached to the I'm attached to the red with Akira. The Akira one is like, it just, that red just really pops, man, and the stickers that it has on it and shit. It's just, it's from a biker gang, essentially, like a type of Hell's Angels in Japan. So, like that, it has that kind of vibe. Batman wouldn't have that kind of vibe, but you know, like, yeah, what I'm trying to say is like the red pops, the black pops a little less, but you kind of need the black. If it's a certain kind of Batman, and if it's not that type, then the blue and gray, which would be ridiculously toyetic, and I think would be really perfect, especially if it's a blue and gray Batman going forward in the Gunverse. So, you know, to me, it's this is like, if I was directing, it's just like, this would be my first note, make it like this, but more bat-like, and put bat symbols on it, you know, where it needs to go. Like especially if it's all black like this, then you need the yellow one, right? Well, I guess it'd be yellow anyway, but like that yellow symbol would just totally pop on this.
It would, yeah.
On this fucking bike, man. It's just so cool. I
could see that on a toy.
Yeah, this is really it. And Jordan Peele like copied this in Nope, like the Akira slide, and fucking Batman the animated series did this with Robin. Yep. Yeah, we prepared this. So
in the Batman 89 comic right here.
In the Batman 89 comic. So this is actually, look, it's an homage. It's kind of been an homage left and right. But I mean, my God, dude, it's, I mean, put a special thanks in the credits or something, you know. But like that slide is just so iconic. I don't think that a cycle sliding like that with a camera dolly, or no, a crane up like that would be trademarked by the anime company. You know what I mean? I think it's fine, especially if the bike design itself is different and the suit's different. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I would, dude, I know it's been done probably a lot at this point, but I would do that too. I would just add that scene. Yeah. Imagine Batman doing that with his cape, because that's another thing. You know, Kaneda, I think, yeah, it's Kaneda on the bike. It's been a while since I've seen the movie, but Kaneda on the bike, he's fucking, he doesn't have a cape, you know? So like that would be a really cool image. He has a cape here and the Robin one. So it was just like that imagery would be so fucking cool, man. You know, there's really a lot they could do with this outside of making another awesome action showcase. But yeah, I love it, dude. I think that's really the way to go. They kind of, you know, it's one of the few balls they dropped on the Muschietti's design. Everything else looking pretty fucking awesome. Like I can just totally imagine this kind of bike in Muschietti's world. You know, imagine that bat wing with this bat cycle. That's just like the perfect combo, dude. That would be so cool.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, just add the bat motif to this. And for our fan artists out there, like, hey, use this as a base. Show us what you got. Let's see a bat cycle version of this.
Yeah, and we'll link this in the description, this Ryan Hong link as well, so you guys can go straight to the source. And Ryan Hong, if you're out there, you know, let's talk. I mean, just to make some fan art together. Yes. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So,
last thing before we go behind the paywall and explore the other Bat Family Bat Cycles, because we're going to be ranking the other Bat Cycles that have been in live action that the rest of the Bat Family have been driving. But we're going to go on spring break for a little bit. The main show will be out for a little bit, but we will be back the week that The Flash releases, actually. The next episode we record will probably get released on June 12th, I would think.
Full disclosure, guys, I see my family twice a year, once... Mm-hmm. In the middle of the year, I usually see him earlier than this, like early spring, but I'm going to go see my family, take a little bit of a vacation, and then we're just going to take a little bit of a break, and then my other break that I take is in Christmas, so Christmas and New Year's, so and this gives Ben a little bit of a break to from all the research and shit, so. So we'll be back and better than ever, but yeah, just a heads up on that one.
Yeah, when you tell me you're on vacation, I'm just like, all right, well, that's my vacation too, because I'm like, ah, cool. So I'm obviously cool with it. So yeah, we'll be back for the main show stuff on June 12th. Patreon, we'll let you guys know what we got in mind for that. But until then, I guess we got one more main show episode coming out on Monday. We're really looking forward for you guys to see, and then we'll be on a bit of a break after that. So
okay,
that's about it.
All right, everybody, we'll see you behind the paywall. Oh yeah, if you want the rest of this episode, please go to patreon.com/superherostuffpod. The rest of this episode can be found behind at the $5 tier. And then you can binge us for a month if you want, 170 plus episodes for $5. If you can get all that done in a month, bravo. That's it. We will see you behind the paywall now.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.